You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Game of Thrones After Show. I'm Dave Klein, and joining me today, the lovely Kristen Carroll.
Hey guys.
Not to be confused with Kristen Snyder.
It's
confusing
two Kristens.
Kristen Snyder can make it, but Kristen Carroll's with us, who's also amazing and a really big Game of Thrones fan. And also Sarah Stretton.
Hi guys, good to see ya.
So today we have a special interview. We actually have Maisie Williams on the phone with us, who plays Arya Stark, my favorite character from the show. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, it's great talking to you. And we were talking before the show, but really you are my favorite character. You portray my favorite character, and you started so young, too. So my first question for you really is that when you first found out you got the role, and I know it was through dancing, and I saw those interviews, but I was wondering, like, it's such a mature show. When you found out what it was and your mother found out what it was, did she have any qualms with it? I know you guys watched the show together now as a family, but at first was she like, I don't know about this.
Well, I know when I started reading the books during the audition process, and actually at my final audition, the creators and writers came out and just said, oh, have you read the book to my mom? And mom said, oh, yeah, I'm just in the middle now, because they wanted to know if she kind of knew what I was getting into. And luckily she did. She was completely cool with it. It was such a great opportunity that, like, it doesn't even matter. There's a few boobs there or whatever, but it was such a great opportunity that we couldn't say no.
That's so great. That's cool that your mom was so cool with it. Like, this is the type of show I would have never been allowed to watch when I was a kid.
I'm not sure I can still watch it. I'm 26.
Yeah. Sometimes I try and watch it with my mom, and there's still some awkwardness.
You watch it with your mom?
The first season I watched with my nan, and mom just said, oh, nan, I'm not sure if you're old enough to watch this yet.
Oh, that's so funny. So your nan may not be old enough to watch it, but you're okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's great. To each their own, though.
And then Arya had, you know, she's going through such a big twist right now. Do you find that, you know, that this is a better step for her? What do you think going into the character this season? You had your first kill that was kind of more exciting than it's not self-defense.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the new season, it's definitely a bigger twist that we've seen for Arya's storyline compared to the other seasons. I mean, she has been adapting, but this year we're really starting to see her play the game. And she's really kind of learning from her surroundings. And I'm so thrilled that the audience are enjoying it so much. So many people are saying, hey, new Arya, you know, she's changing. And I'm glad that people like that because, you know, it is risky. Like, if your favorite character starts to take a different path. But I'm glad that people are enjoying what she's doing.
Well, speaking on that, sorry.
There's so many of us have questions. Speaking to that, with this big change, does Arya ever do anything that shocks you? Like, when you're reading the script, are you ever shocked by her actions or her choices?
Yeah, I mean, I was really shocked by episode 10 of season 3, when she kills the Frey Guard after the Red Wedding. When I was reading that, I was worried that the audience weren't going to like it, because she'd always been taught to fight and to kill effectively and the right way, and it seemed that she was kind of just doing it more brutally than she had kind of been training for so long. And I mean, it was a surprise to Arya as well, I think, and it shocked the audience, definitely. It was a big part of episode 10, mm-hmm. And kind of a bit of an aftershock from the Red Wedding as well. So, yeah I mean, I think that was kind of probably the most shocking thing I've read so far. And sometimes I question, is this the right thing? Like, do I agree with Arya's decisions and stuff like that? Because, you know, if you're playing all these emotions, you have to do it kind of as real as possible. You have to be able to identify with these kind of choices that she makes. So sometimes I do find it more difficult to justify.
Right, and definitely bring your own self into that character and that role that you're playing. But
exactly, so, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking on that, though, on who Arya's becoming, this past week for us, we just saw this big scene with the Hound where Arya thought she was doing something really good by having the farmers that your character that Arya met and the Hound met go ahead and help them out, feed them. She had to take them in. Had some rabbit stew. And then
maybe because it wasn't chicken, that's what caused
it. That's what caused the Hound to get grumpy. Yeah, he wanted some chicken. But yeah, he ended up turning around and robbing the farmers, much to Arya's dismay. So how do you think these actions are affecting Arya's character and who she's going to become?
He says that fantastic line, how many Starks are going to behead before you figure it out?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, she's reluctant to listen to anything she says, but at the bottom of her heart, she just realized that actually he's going the right way, and he's doing the right thing, and he's surviving. And at the end of the day, it may not be what she's been brought up to do, but the Starks aren't doing very well. The loyal Starks that she always, you know, kind of thought were doing the right thing, yeah, you know, maybe they are, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to survive. And I think she's learning kind of the harsh truth to this world that actually just because you tell the truth and you're a good girl, it doesn't mean that people are going to cut you any slack. And she's frustrated at the fact that, you know, she didn't learn more about this when she was at Winterfell. She could have handled herself so much better. And yeah, she's picking up on a lot of the Hound's kind of brutality. And it's annoying, but at the same time, it's working.
Well, and Arya's such a, you know, she's learning so many lessons. Do you find that playing her influences your life as well? Do you sit there and be kind of like, wait, maybe what would Arya do in this situation? Have you had moments like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arya is very kind of to the point. And say you have to have like a tricky conversation with your friend, like, oh, say your friend invites you out and you don't necessarily really want to go out, but it's not because you don't want to go out with them, you just want to stay in tonight, but you don't want to sound like an idiot for saying that. Sometimes I wish I was just more like Arya and just came out and said, hey, you know what, actually, I don't want to go out. I would rather just stay in bed today.
But
for some reason, we feel the need to kind of like pussyfoot around and just be like, oh, yeah, well, I would come out, but I can't because I have to wash my hair. And I'm like, why can't I just come out and tell the truth, like Arya, and just like say it up front, because it's the most effective way to get things done. And, yeah, she's very admirable for that.
Especially when you're talking to your producers and directors. That's when you especially want to do that.
Brutal honesty.
Yeah, brutal honesty.
Goes over very well.
Really, really well. Totally.
We talked about earlier a little bit how you started or still are a dancer. And I think one of the most fun things to watch Arya do is her fighting scenes, is her sword play. Mm-hmm. She's such, like, a tough badass. Does dancing help with that? And like, how much time do you spend practicing those scenes, and what does that take?
Dancing has helped so much with that. And speaking to the other guys that do sword fighting and things, they say the most difficult thing is the kind of, you know, you don't just do it once. You have to do it all day, every take. You have to do it kind of like full out from various different angles. And a lot of the time, stunt scenes are kind of filmed over a period of days, and you know, it's all very well to get the routine down, but you're going to have to be doing this for kind of a few hours before you can have a break. So I think that's where dancing really, really helped, the kind of stamina, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I really enjoyed kind of learning the routines and things like that, because obviously it's very different from the dance that I've done, but the fact that we were learning in a routine and you kind of
there's a choreography to it.
Someone, pardon?
I said there's a choreography to it.
Yeah, basically. So I mean, like, it was very familiar kind of structure to the day, and yeah, it helps an awful lot. But you know, it's still not easy. There's so much to do and so much to remember, and there's so many other aspects to it. There's a camera over here, and you know, like a really expensive lighting stand here, and things that you can't hit and can't mess up. So yeah, I mean, there is a lot of pressure that comes with it, but I definitely say that I had kind of a nice booster for that.
Well,
with the dancing.
Now, is that something you still want to do? Are you still interested at some time going back to dancing if you can?
Yeah, I mean, I still dance now. I try and take classes as much as I can. Obviously, Game of Thrones is taking up a lot of my life.
But yeah.
Any downtime that I have, the reason I love dancing so much is because, one, I enjoy it, and two, it keeps me so fit and healthy. And but like, to have a hobby that, you know, that keeps your you know, heart rate up and things like that, it's so great. And I can really tell if I haven't danced for a few weeks, and I start to feel really, really slow. So it's just nice to every now and then just like let all your energy out and have a few hour lesson, and then, you know, then get back to Game of Thrones land again.
Yeah, as a fellow dancer, I completely agree with you. So definitely. And actually,
what dance do you do?
I'm a break dancer. So, or we b-boy.
Oh wow! I used to break dance when I was tiny.
Oh, did you? You should keep it up. It's so much fun. It's also, as you said, so much. It's a great exercise.
And I saw one of your videos the other day where you did a flash dance, like, and it looked like an outdoor mall, possibly. Where it was you and a couple of girls,
me?
And I was like, look at that body. Yeah,
it
was on YouTube.
This is so long ago. We did like a little performance. And then the video was out there for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden someone found it and picked it up. Like, oh my God, Maisie Williams dance. And it was kind of crazy. But the funny thing is, there's so many other videos on the internet of me dancing. No one's found them yet. So I'm just waiting for someone else to find another one.
Well,
and
now,
be like, oh,
now
here's
we know.
Here's another one.
Are there going to be any, like, on the blooper reel? Like, do you dance on set? Or do you make Rory dance? Like, I want to see the hound breaking it down.
Sometimes we just like make up our own little songs and things like that, and we're just like kind of jamming. He sometimes brings his little guitar set, and he gave me one at the end of season three, and we just kind of jam together. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh guys, we have to actually do some work today. And we're like, oh, just wait a second, listen to this, how cool is this? And we're just like on set messing around. But yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah, that is like that would be great, like a dance battle instead of like an actual battle with Arya and the Hound versus someone else. That would be awesome.
And they're about to have a massive fight. They walk into the inn and there's Oliver, and then all of a sudden the Hound flips the table and there's like a massive dance off.
That would be amazing. I want to see that.
I do too. Let's rewrite.
I think that'd be like a viral video if something like that went up.
Speaking of fights,
it would be amazing.
I want to know, like, how's Arya's reaction going to be when she finds out Joffrey's dead and she wasn't the one that was able to kill him? Is he going to be mad?
Well, we're going to get to see that.
Good.
I wouldn't say she's mad. She's got a very interesting kind of point of view on it, and the Hound and Arya kind of speak about it a little bit, because obviously both of them hated him for different reasons. And the Hound was so close to him for so, so long and had the opportunity. He could just turn around and kill him at any moment. And they talk about that a lot. And it's a really interesting scene and probably one of my favorites, I think, that we got to shoot together. It's just really funny to see her view on it, and you start to see a change in Arya. And you know, it's maybe not the reaction that you expect, but yeah.
Would you say that Joffrey was Arya's biggest nemesis? Like, who do you think she thinks is the most evil in Game of Thrones?
It was definitely Joffrey. He was at the top of the list. But she knows that he was heavily influenced by Cersei. And a part of her... it's definitely Cersei, but because I think she's angry at the fact that she was so close to him and there was a sword there at the time, and you know, back in season one, I'm talking about when they had their little showdown next to the river. I think the fact that she could have so many times, and just, you know, if she knew then what she knows now, things would be very, very different.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I would love to see Arya and Cersei battle, because that'd be like my least favorite female character on the show versus my favorite female character on the show. I'd be like, I'd be fine with that.
You have
I've
to
said this. Those two characters should cross over at some point. One of them would die, like, during the scene, but it would be such an awesome scene. So.
It would be epic.
It would be amazing. I do want to ask you, as you yourself, as Macy, you've been playing Arya Stark for so long, and that's such a specific character role. Once Game of Thrones is said and done, or I mean, even now, you've been acting in some more films that have been starting to be released. Are there specific roles that differ from Arya that you really want to try to portray at some point?
I did a film kind of autumn time last year. It was called The Falling, and the character I played in that was extremely different to Arya. They did have similarities, but the thing about my character, she's called Lydia, She relied a lot on other people, and she invested a lot of emotional energy into other people, which is something that Ari never does. She keeps herself to herself and, you know, is looking out for number one. And,
yeah.
And Lydia was constantly, you know, making sure everyone else was okay before she's kind of thinking about herself almost. And that was really, really different. And I struggled for the first few weeks to kind of click into that. It was really, really odd to you know, to play such a caring character.
Right.
yeah, it was strange. Because obviously being here for so much time, and I spend my whole life playing this kind of rough and tumble badass, all of a sudden you get this other script in front of you. And it's just so strange, but something that I'm definitely going to have to get used to.
I mean, is there any specific role that you really want? Is there something like maybe more of a comedic role? Is there a certain element, like a character trait that you'd like to portray?
As I always said, you know the film Coraline?
Yeah.
If they were ever to bring Coraline to life and have real people, I'd love to play Coraline.
Oh, okay.
just because I love, it's such a strange film, but I really love that kind of underlying note of you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And it's such an amazing way of kind of, I just loved it. The first time I watched it, I thought it was a kid's film, and then I was freaked out by the spider lady at the end. But how amazing would that be, you know? And Mum always said that I looked a little bit like her. So, yeah, I'd love to play Coraline.
Now, you do, we talked about you doing dance, and I believe you sing as well. Would musical theater be something of interest, or do you go to the theater a lot to see musicals?
I try to go to the theatre as much as possible. I absolutely love live performances. There's such a buzz, you know, when you're watching with like a crowd. And also being on the stage, I mean, I don't do that professionally. I've never done kind of any stage work professionally. But I mean, when I used to do kind of school plays or mini performances and things, just that buzz, you can't really... like nothing really compares to that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's just the best feeling in the world, and that's why I enjoy dance so much. Just like, you know, after you've gone all out for 3-4 minutes, and then everyone's just, you know, I can't describe it. Just that atmosphere in the room, in the room, you just can't recreate.
Because you get to be with your audience.
I'd love to do kind of musical theatre stuff. I'm not the strongest singer. Well, I mean, I try my absolute hardest. It's just not the talent is completely there. But I will give it an A for effort. So, yeah, I'm halfway there.
It's okay. I just sing in my car. That's kind of my form.
That's like
of
a
singing.
Quarter of the way there. So another quarter to that. Yeah.
Do you have any guilty pleasure music like that you like to sing if you were going to? Do some Beyonce.
Guilty pleasure
or...
music. Guilty pleasure. Nothing's really my guilty pleasure because I have a habit of of telling everyone my guilty pleasures, and then it's really embarrassing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, because you're Aria, you're straightforward.
Like, I will be like belting out like really embarrassing songs at the top of my voice, but then at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't really care because it makes me happy.
Yeah, good.
Which is really sad.
That's such a good way to think about things. I was wondering, how did you end up getting into dance and singing and acting? Like, where did that passion come from? Are your parents involved? Did you just one day wake up and were like, go ahead.
The truth is, like, when I was little, like at school and stuff, I had an older sister, mm-hmm. and she used to do gymnastics and things like that, and she'd teach me little routines, and I used to be such a show-off. I just wanted to show everyone, like, look at this new routine I did, and look at this and look at that. Whenever there was a talent show, I'd, like, be the first one to put my name down, and I just wanted to perform in front of people. Like, that's all I ever really wanted to do. And then when I got to about 10, my mum... let me start doing dance lessons locally, and it was just the best thing ever. And every week I'd have all my dance kit packed and all folded up neatly, and I'd like set my alarm really early to get ready, and I enjoyed it so much, and then it just grew and grew from there, really.
Yeah, well, it all worked out pretty well for you in the end,
yeah,
doing those
I know.
Dance lessons.
I really couldn't imagine, like, it's just been the best opportunity ever.
Now, we are going to have to wrap up, but I have one quick question for you before we do, and that's, now that you're starting to get recognized so much, and I've seen in a recent interview you were saying you're getting recognized even more often in London and in England than you were before.
Mm-hmm.
Are you enjoying that, or is it starting to get to the point where you're like, oh, okay, I'm kind of tired of everybody recognizing me all the time?
I mean, sometimes it catches me a bit off guard, and I'm not one to, like, always have my hair and makeup perfect or always have a nice outfit on. Like, every morning I wake up and I'm like, there's a possibility that you could get recognized. There's a possibility that you're going to have a photo with you. There's a possibility that I could go all over the internet. Yeah. And then still in my head, I'm like, I can't be bothered to do my makeup. Like, I don't want to, so I don't. And, but then life's too short. It's like, you know, no one woke up with makeup on. So, you know, and everyone knows that that's like an added extra. And yeah, I mean, it's, I don't mind. The fans are what have made this show so successful, so I can't complain at all. Sometimes, as I said, it does keep me, catch me off guard. But
yeah,
I mean, everyone's always so lovely and always have so much to say and so much to talk about and so many questions. And yeah, it's lovely to find people that are kind of so passionate about something that takes up my whole life, you know?
Well, I think
know so much about like this common interest that we have.
Yeah.
Do they call you Macy, or do they come up to you and they're like, Aria, how much do you get of you being an actress or you being the character?
Well, when it started out, it was like Aria all the time. But more and more recently, it's been Macy, and that's like the strangest thing. And it sounds strange, but for someone a stranger to call you by your real name, there's like no way to describe your heart just sinks, you know, and then you remember like, oh, there's you know, it's a fan or whatever.
Yeah, it's almost like your mom or something calling out to you.
It's the strangest thing.
I mean, actually, I think that's endearing that you don't find the need, that you don't put on makeup every day for that. I think that's actually a good thing, and that you can still stay true to yourself. But thank you so much for coming on with us. I had a blast interviewing you, and I'm sure we all did.
Oh my god, yeah. Thank you so much for calling in, and want to wish you a happy belated birthday. Your birthday was just a couple days ago,
thank
right?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, happy belated birthday. That's yeah, it was like a week ago. Yeah, a couple days ago.
I also just wanted
to thank you. Yeah, no, I had a really, really good time talking to you. Thank you for inviting me on.
If you're ever in LA, come out for a visit. We'll grab some chicken or stew.
Yeah.
I will.
We can just gobble it down. But
thank
again,
you guys.
Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right, guys. So thank you so much for joining us. I've got to like lay down the wrap up. I'm like, Stars, I'm amazed. Aria Stark. Once again,
nice.
Guys, I'm Dave Klein. You can find me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein. That's KLEIN.
You can find me, Kristen Carroll, on Twitter, KristenCarroll13. And I also do the Turn and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
And you can find me here at AfterBuzz TV or also at our sister podcast, Anatomy of a Movie.
All right, guys, we'll see you later. Thanks so much for joining us. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.